Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Welcome or welcome back to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a licensed psychologist, and today we will be talking about fixing fake confidence. In my line of work, one of the main treatment goals that people have when they come see me is building their self-esteem or improving their confidence. And so I thought, because this is something that we could all benefit from, I thought it would be a good idea for us to talk about the differences between false confidence or fake confidence and true confidence. When we think about someone who is successful, one of the main descriptors that we have for them is that they are confident. I mean, think about your favorite celebrity, your favorite athlete, the politician that you endorse, your doctor, think about an attorney, a CEO or a pastor or a leader of some sort. One of the things that makes them so attractive is their confidence. So it makes sense that a lot of people have confidence or boosting their confidence as a goal. And so because of that, you'll see lots of advice out there that tells you to fake it until you make it. I mean, heck, I've even been told to do the same because I'm introverted, that you should just fake it until you make it. But having false confidence is not the goal, because I believe it breeds imposter syndrome. And so sometimes you may not even know that your confidence is false. And so you may not even know that the confidence that you have is fake. And so what we'll do today is talk about some common ways to identify false confidence. And then at the end, I will give you a very powerful way to fix false confidence. In this episode, for people who are note takers, you will get lots of nuggets that you will want to jot down. So go ahead and grab your favorite drink, open your notes app, or grab your journal and your pen, and we will jump right in. So from the beginning, you might be saying, Dr. Perry, how do I even know if my confidence is false or not? Here are some of the main ways that you can identify it. One is being a chameleon. This means that you don't really know who you are unless other people tell you who you are. So if you are in a group of people who believe one way, then in that setting, that's the way you believe. If you are in another setting where people value certain things, when you're in that environment, you're confident and you want to value what they value. So you're not really sure of yourself unless other people are validating you and they are validating your plans. If somebody tells you that they think that your idea isn't that great of an idea, then all your confidence is gone away because you didn't get the approval or validation that you thought you would. Another way that you can tell fake confidence is that you're more worried about your self-image than self-growth. And I see this a lot when people are afraid for other people to see their mistakes. And so instead of coming out and being honest about your struggles, you have to present yourself as always put together. You have to put yourself out there as a person who knows all the answers. Instead of acknowledging the steps that you've taken to grow, instead of acknowledging the mistakes that you've made. Now, I'm not suggesting that confidence means that you make social media posts or everybody you meet, you put your shortcomings or your failures and mistakes out for everybody to see. But when it's appropriate, you're able to acknowledge that you don't know everything. You're able to acknowledge your mistakes. So an example of this would be those people that we see or hear who act like their business has been booming since day one versus those very powerful people who let you know, hey, yeah, I've missed some steps. I've made some huge mistakes that almost cost me my business, or I had to file bankruptcy because of this. Or in the relational aspects, you see people that say, hey, you know what? I made some mistakes and it led to my first divorce, or I've made some parenting mistakes, and that's why now I have to improve the relationship that I have with my child. And so a false confidence puts it all out there as perfection. When you have false confidence, you are also not open to other people's feedback, and that's because your ego cannot tolerate anyone disagreeing with you. You only want to engage in conversations where you can prove what you know, where you can prove how smart you are, where you can make other people envy you or feel impressed by you. You don't want to listen to anybody because you have to prove that you know everything. And when you have true confidence, you're able to strike a good balance of both, where you're able to say, you know what, this is what I know, but these are the areas where either I don't know anything or I don't know as much as I'd like to know. I also see fake confidence show up as being self-assured only when someone else sees you as valuable, pretty, or worthy. And this happens when there's a person in your life or a group of people in your life who you want to impress. And if they validate you, then you feel good about yourself. But if that person criticizes you or doesn't accept you, or if that group doesn't want you in their crowd anymore, then your confidence is shattered. That is a huge sign that your confidence is not as steady or as true as you think. Another sign that your confidence is fake is if you only feel good when you are winning or accomplishing something you perceive as better than others. So let's say my value is being a wife. Well, until I meet somebody, until we get engaged, until we have this huge wedding, I don't feel good about myself. I value other wives. I value other people who are in relationships as better than myself. I don't truly feel confident in who I am. But again, if I get married, then I think my world is amazing. If my value is in being a parent and I have a baby, then I think this is what gives me confidence. Same thing with attaining a degree. Same thing could be with having a certain amount of followers or likes on social media, having the biggest home, driving a certain car, getting a certain job. If our value is in certain positions, things, people, then that can breed false confidence, because if we don't get those things, or if we have those things and life circumstances happen where that changes or we lose those things or those positions, and your confidence is shattered. And so it's really important that we do more than just fake it until we make it. We want to make sure that our confidence is actually authentic, because then it'll be stable across the board. It won't be only confident in certain situations. Now, I'm not saying that in order to fix false confidence, that it means you will be 100% confident every single day in every single situation. But what I am saying to you is that your confidence will be more true to who you are, which means that it's more likely to be stable no matter what circumstances come your way, instead of allowing other people, other situations and circumstances to strip away your confidence, which means it was never really stable in the beginning. So I want to walk you through an exercise to help you to begin to fix false confidence. Now, I consider myself to be the queen of questions, and this exercise is full of questions. So if you're a person who is uncomfortable with questions, then you may not like this exercise, but I tell you, it is very, very, very powerful. So you will either need to listen to this episode multiple times to get the questions in your mind and your spirit, or feel free to write these down or put them in your notes app so that way you can refer to them, because it's a lot of questions and you'll need to be able to answer these questions to really get to the root of it. Before we do this exercise, I want you to stop and think about the one area that you're not as confident in. What is one area of insecurity that you have? So pause this episode, and I really want you to identify one area that you're not so confident in. And I'm going to show you how to walk through and really truly dissect it and play it out. All right, so let's take this example, and I'm going to walk you through all of these questions. Let's say I work a full-time job, and I want to start a catering business on the side, but I don't feel very confident that I'll be successful. One of the first questions that you need to ask yourself is, why don't I feel confident? Is it because it's new or I lack experience in this area? Is it because I fear unknown outcomes or I'm uncertain about the outcome? And so maybe in this example, I'm just not sure that I will be successful, and I'm worried that I might invest all of this money and my time and no one will like my food, no one will book me for their events, and it's just going to be a major flop. So after asking yourself why you don't feel confident, then you can ask yourself, why am I pressuring myself to have all the answers now? What part am I overlooking? So in this one example, maybe I'm not realizing that I am actually overlooking the fact that nobody that starts a business knows all the answers up front. I'm not sure where to get a commercial kitchen that I can use. I'm not sure where I can get a bulk of ingredients. I'm not sure where I can get good feedback from my food. I'm not sure how to advertise. I'm not sure about food photography. So there's lots of things that I don't know as it pertains to pursuing my goal. But my confidence, or my lack of confidence in this area, is that I'm overlooking the fact that no one knows all the answers up front. I have unrealistic expectations that I should know all the answers today, and I am pressuring myself to have it all figured out now. So you're asking yourself, why am I pressuring myself to have all the answers now? And what part am I overlooking? What unrealistic expectations do I have of myself in this area? Then you want to ask yourself, what resources can you get or use? Are there books, courses, coaches, therapy, mentoring, videos, magazines, conferences? In other words, I'm asking you, is there a good model already out there? And even if someone is not doing exactly what you want to do, that's a good thing, because you can learn from someone who has a similar business or idea or situation to yours, and then you can use that to tailor it to your specific needs. So a lot of times our confidence comes from a lack of experience and a lack of knowledge. And so then you'll be asking yourself, what resources can I get or use to fill in those knowledge or experience gaps? But you're going to take it a step further and say, or ask yourself, will I be open to feedback? So if you're going to take these courses, if you're going to go to these conferences, if you're going to invest in coaching or therapy, are you truly open to feedback? Because remember, false confidence says, I already know everything. But in order to fix that, we have to acknowledge that we do know some things, but also be aware that we all have blind spots, that we all have information that we think we know that is actually not true. And beyond that, you just don't know what you don't know. So will you be open to feedback? Another question is, what do I think will happen if I fail? So using this same catering example, well, I'm worried that I'll lose all of my money. I will have invested all of this time and money into a business that is not successful. I'll worry that other people will think I'm crazy, that I should not have even taken this risk. I worry that other people will talk about me and they'll make fun of my idea. I worry that I won't believe in myself anymore if this doesn't work out. So what do you think will happen if you fail? And then I want you to take it a step further and say, well, what have I done when I have failed before? Well, in this example, I might say, well, I've tried a recipe before and it didn't work, but I kept trying until I perfected that particular recipe. Or I made a couple of dishes for a family gathering and one dish was not everybody's favorite and I was a little embarrassed, but I worked through it and I'm glad I put myself out there. Or it can be in a completely different area. Since this example is based on my goal of starting a catering business, I can look at other situations and ask myself, where have I failed before? And what did I do? How did I work through it? How did I grow through it? So let's review those questions again. Why don't I feel confident? Let's review those questions again. Why don't I feel confident? Why am I pressuring myself to have all the answers now? What part am I overlooking? What unrealistic expectations do I have of myself? What resources can I get or use? Will I be open to feedback? What do I think will happen if I fail? And what have I done when I failed before? And because this is a Christian podcast, I want to put this last question in here that I think actually will answer all of these other questions. And that is, who is my confidence in? Well, Dr. Perry, what do you mean by who is my confidence in? Am I putting all of the confidence in myself? Maybe. Yeah. I'm putting all of the pressure on myself in terms of I have to figure all of this out on my own. I don't have any assistance. It's up to me for this to work out. I have to know all the answers. I have to get every recipe right. I have to know exactly where to market my business. I have to know just as much as Bobby Flay, or I have to know just as much as Cake Boss. So I'm putting all of my confidence in myself. Think about for a minute how that feels when you put all of the pressure on yourself. It feels heavy, doesn't it? Your mind is cloudy. Your thoughts are racing. You feel worried. That's a lot of pressure. You also feel it in your body. You feel weighed down. You feel anxious or restless or fatigued from thinking so much. So who is your confidence in? Is it in yourself or sometimes it's in other people? Sometimes we look to other people to have it all figured out and we are comparing ourselves. Oh, well, this person looks like they have it all figured out, so I will make my confidence like theirs. This person looks like they have it figured out. I'll do what they do and that'll give me confidence. This person looks like they know what they're doing. And so do you see how if on both extremes, our confidence is actually not as authentic as it needs to be? And so using our spiritual faith, I'm going to leave you with several scriptures to help you settle any unhealthy expectations of yourself and any unhealthy thoughts about other people. Our confidence should be in God and what we can do through Him, because our strength is limited. Other people's strength is limited. Other people's resources are limited. Our resources are limited. Our knowledge is limited. Other people's knowledge is limited. And so when we look at our spiritual faith, our confidence has to come through God and He will strengthen us. So let me leave you with a few scriptures. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Another good scripture to fix false confidence is found in 2 Timothy 1:7, and that is to realize that God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Another scripture says in Ephesians 3:12, that in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So this means that I'm not worried about outcomes. I'm not worried about figuring out all the answers. I don't have to fake it until I make it, because in Him and through Him, we can go to God with freedom and confidence that He is going to see us through. If we're worried about other people rejecting us, if we admit that we don't know all the answers, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 tells us that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So instead of me worrying about my reputation or my self-image, if I acknowledge that I don't know everything, that I don't have all the experience, that's a trap. What can man do to you? What can they say about you? Being authentic and honest about what you know, what you don't know. And I'll leave you with Jeremiah 17 and 7, where it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." I really like that scripture because it reminds us to have our confidence in him, have our confidence in Christ, because it reminds us that we are trusting in God to work through us in all circumstances, that he's going to be with us, to uphold us, to guide us, to lead us, to dust us off when we fall. And so true confidence comes in knowing your value, knowing your purpose, period. Not having it based on other people's approval, not having it based on worldly possessions or validation from other people or certain positions or material possessions. Your true confidence lies in striking that balance between knowing what you know, knowing who you are, whose you are, and not letting that be based on other things or people. So I hope that this episode was helpful to you. I know that was a lot of questions, but again, listen to this episode and I really want you to dissect just one area where your confidence is not where it needs to be, or the area that you feel like you have to fake it until you make it. These questions can be applied to insecurities about your physical appearance. They can be applied to insecurities about your marital status, about your finances. It can be applied to insecurities related to your educational level or your intellect. You can apply these questions across the board. I want you to do something for me. As you go through these questions, if you gain a powerful revelation about yourself and about the differences between false versus true confidence, I want you to send me a DM on IG at Dr. Q Perry, or you can send me an email by going to the show's website, www.amazingwithgrace.com, and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab. Let us end with a quick prayer. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to come together to talk about having true confidence and getting rid of or fixing false confidence. We know that it is through you that we have our hope. We know that we can trust in you and put our confidence in you, and that you will be with us through all things. And it is in your son's name that we pray, amen. That is all that I have for you today. Until next time, take care.